We were going to provide language translation. Brother Bardo will be assisting us. And maybe, Brother Issei, if you don't mind, if you can help give us a few instructions here while we assign Brother Bardo to do the translation here for us.
Can you repeat that one time, Brother Dean?
Sure, yeah. So if you don't mind, maybe just providing a little bit of instruction there in Spanish for those saints that might need it, to how to utilize the language interpretation feature.
I see. Amén. Queridos santos, para los que necesitan traducción del inglés al español, abajo hay una... Aquí hay una... Puede darle aquí, planarle allí donde dice interpretación. Si le toca ahí con su dedo en su computadora, puede recibir traducción de parte del hermano Bardo Montelongo. Otra vez, si necesitan traducción, pueden ir abajo de la pantalla de su computadora. Y no estoy seguro de un celular, pero en una computadora abajo debe ver un dibujito de del mundo o de un globo así redondo donde dice interpretación o en inglés interpretation. Y si ahí le tocan, le planen ahí, entonces se les va a dar interpretación por hermano Bardo Montelongo. Y después de que lo toquen, tienen que tocar, va a decir listen in, indicando que lo pueden escuchar en español, y ahí también necesitan que tocarle en español o en Spanish en inglés. Si tienen una duda, me pueden enviar aquí un mensaje por chat. Amén.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Issei. Saints, we're so glad you're here. It's just good to be together. What we like to do here is, if you don't mind, we really would love to see your faces. I know many of you have your camera on. If not, we'd like to encourage you. I know it'd be a great encouragement for all of us. To see you, to see your faces. Many of you I haven't seen in a while just because I'm just here. I work from home and I don't get out too much. Anyway, it would just be really lovely to see you all. What we'll do now is we'd just like to take here a moment, just a little bit of prayer. I'll pray and then Brother Issei will pray. And then we'll turn it over to our Brother Tim. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this time.
Yes, Lord.
We just tell you, we open our hearts to you.
Amen.
Oh, you are the God and Father of every family.
Amen.
Oh, both in heaven and on earth.
Right.
Thank you, we can be here.
Amen.
Thank you, we can be in your dear presence.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
Thank you, dear. Thank you, Lord. We can be in your presence.
Amen.
One thing we ask and we seek, Lord.
Yes.
Is to dwell in the house of Jehovah.
Amen.
Lord, we like to behold your beauty this morning, Lord.
Amen.
We like to be open to all the speaking this morning, Lord.
Amen.
We ask that your sweet presence be with us this morning, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for every family gathered here, Lord.
Amen.
To come and speak to us, Lord.
Yes.
Come and supply us with words of grace.
Amen.
We open, Lord, and to just enjoy you during this time, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Tim.
Yes, thank you, brothers, for organizing. And thank you, sisters. And some community saints that are very burdened for the families. Just a few minutes to give a little bit of background and then introduce Peter. So I would say a couple of summers ago when Ron, my camera here, Ron Kanga shared about Noah and the families and the need to have the families connected, that touched a number of us, and we began to pray more, fellowship more, and burden to strengthen the family units, parents with kids, kids together, and to build these families together so that there'd be a community. Just like in Noah's day with the eight souls, they had a community set apart from the age, and everybody else got taken out, but that community remained. So we're very burdened to build this community, and it has much to do with families. I would say that the direction we've been going is to have more parent involvement with our children, not just leave it to the church Lord's Day morning meeting or the church Saturday YP meeting. So that's one key point, is more involvement with the parents, with the kids, and also blending the ages together so that big brother, big sister, little brother, little sister, from children all the way up to YP, to college, there's relationships and love and care and interest. So those are a couple main points. And then kind of on the practical side of gathering together, I know there's twos and threes and a lot of opportunities the families interact with each other, but as far as gathering us to have this community, the parents have gotten more involved in the Bible camp, which has been spread over the whole summer now. And we had a family day camp for 4 days. I think we really enjoyed that. We're going to do that again, maybe even have 2 weeks. It'd be the same content each week, but if we can't get everybody in, we have to expand to 2. Dates have already been set. And then the family retreat, which Peter is going to share here in a minute, was with us. And we have that date already set too. We'll send these dates around. And then and that's mainly with the 6th grade and under. And then with the 7 through 12, we have the Saturday night. There's a group that prays and coordinates serving ones, and every Wednesday they're praying for these kids and fellowshipping. And then Saturday nights at the hall or in one of the homes, there's the fellowship of these children, and some of you are involved in that. Of course, we have True School, which is during the summer. And then we added 4 days of day camp with these 7 through 12 and a couple Saturdays where they could just be together. So that was a beginning. This year, this coming summer, we have actually rented an overnight Christian camp. And there'll be more. We've already sent an announcement out, but hope you're planning on that. and then in addition, we have been in touch with HEB, who runs a Christian camp during the summer. So we can't get in at the moment, but we have a weekend in September where we can go outside. That's just close by San Antonio for to take our talk in YP here mostly. So there's a number of things over the last couple summers the Lord has been adding and building. So we feel we'd like to continue to build this community, and we're very open to your suggestions, your fellowship. A number of you are very burdened and have been very helpful and instrumental in helping us get this more in prayer and fellowship and building up. So Peter's going to take over now. Peter Burden, as he spoke with us last May. He'll join us again this coming May, and maybe even another time before that, we'll see. So this is another addition, having something in December for our families, rather than wait for the summer to come around. This is also further development, and we hope you'll enjoy the fellowship this morning, and then we'll say a little bit after Peter finishes about what the rest of the day looks like for our families. Peter's burdens mainly with about the families and the one piece of how all these kids from cradle to college age beyond all are blended in one work. One piece. Okay, Peter, I think Peter has till 10:10, and then we're going to have 5 minutes of announcements, and we're going to release everybody at 10:15, so you can show up at the property at 11:30. Okay, thanks, Dean.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Good to be with you again.
Amen.
You know, I always very much prefer to be with the saints in person, right? Kind of like Paul, longing to see you face to face. But I feel like if Paul had Zoom, he would have used it, you know? Although his spirit was so strong, he could be anywhere, right? Meeting with the saints when they were together. But one thing that Zoom is kind of hard with, not only do a lot of us like to have our cameras off, but we also like to have our microphones off. And so I can't hear any amens or any response.
Amen.
And I don't know if that's possible, but boy, it means a lot to know, at least for me to know that you're still awake.
Amen.
Not asleep, you know?
Amen.
Right.
But anyway, hopefully this fellowship will keep us all awake. Well, saints, I would just like to overflow with you some of these points that we here in Huntsville have been enjoying very much these last couple of weeks. Firstly, to be encouraged that how wonderful it is that we're in the Lord's recovery. Isn't it so good to be in the Lord's recovery?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
We're not here being led or directed by tradition or any creeds or anything like that that just holds us in captivity in old things.
Right.
We're here enjoying the new wine, the fresh wine, and the new wineskins.
Amen.
And what's wonderful about the ministry is, much like the Lord's word, the more you get into it, the more you get into the ministry, not the older it becomes, the more familiar and routine it becomes, but the newer and fresher it becomes.
Yeah.
Right? The ministry is so fresh. And it's always advancing to one thing. It's advancing to the building up of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Building up the church.
Amen.
So I always just like to start, if I have time, to touch again. Whatever we do needs to be for the church.
Amen.
It needs to be done in the context of the church. It's not anything apart from the church. We're not here on a line of our own, just building up a work with the children on its own, or a work with the families on its own. No. We really need to see that this is a work of God's economy for the building up of the church. And I think later on, we'll see when we touch this matter of the one piece, that's really what this is. Okay. So to start here, let's maybe start with some fellowship. And I think a few of your mics might be unplugged, right? Unmuted. And if that's the case, feel free to say amen or oh Lord.
Amen.
Amen, oh Lord.
Amen.
Or snore really loud so I can see that you're asleep.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Don't be quiet.
Amen. Yeah,
amen.
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 Oh Lord.
Amen. Amen.
This is a fellowship, right? It's not a one-way thing.
Amen.
Amen.
So I was impressed this morning afresh with the need of the families.
Yes.
The need of the families. And this morning in the car on the way here, I was two examples. Of course, I think we have a lot of examples, but I was touched this morning with two examples. One on the positive side and one on the negative. You know, positively, we have the family of Noah. And the family of Noah is positive, even though he had his life and his kids, and at a time where the earth was very fallen, very degraded. It was characterized by violence. It was a violent age.
Yes.
And, you know, it was dark and against God. And actually, it was a mixed up situation, right? The angels had come and gotten mixed up with the sons of men. And it was a confusing, mixed up, dark, violent situation, much like today. And much like today, in the midst of that, the Lord called a small group of people. Actually, he called one man, and that one man got his family involved to do the work of the age.
Right.
I really enjoy in Joshua how it says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah."
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
I always like to make this point. It doesn't say, as for me and my house, we will believe in Jehovah.
Right.
Surely you and your house should believe in Jehovah, right?
Right.
Fundamentally. Right. But they were so strong. They said, not only that, as for me and my house, I'm making the decision. I, as the husband, as the head of this house, am making the decision right now, as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah.
Right. Amen.
We're not only going to be a believing house, we're going to be a serving house.
Amen.
How about that?
Hallelujah.
I know with me, when I was a kid, my dad brought all five boys, kicking and screaming every Saturday morning to the meeting hall to vacuum the carpet. And if you ever saw the meeting hall in Anaheim, that is a big carpet.
You know, right.
I don't think it's all carpet, you know, anymore, but at one point it was just all carpet. And so anyway, every Saturday we served Jehovah.
Mm.
Whether we wanted to or not. And eventually I got a burden. You know what my first burden was in the church life? I'll tell you, my first burden for the church was the stairs of the meeting hall on Ball Road. It was the southwest stairs of the meeting hall of the church in Anaheim, the big hall, the southwest stairs. Every Saturday, I had to vacuum the southwest stairs of the meeting hall in the church. And that was my job. So when I walked up the stairs and I saw something that somebody threw down on the floor on the southwest stairs of the meeting hall, I was full of feeling. They have messed up my stairs.
Amen.
You know, those were my stairs. Little 9-year-old Peter Harvey stairs.
Wow.
As for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. So that's what Noah did. Noah had his household serve the Lord to build the ark. And that saved them. And surely they must have a lot of conversations with their dad about this. Like we had a lot of conversations with our dad. Dad, it's Saturday morning. We need to go to sports games and do other stuff. But no, as for our house, we went there to serve. That's what we did.
Amen.
They built the ark. That's what they did. That was what their house did. And so as a result of that, eventually Noah and his household entered the ark. It's wonderful. So that's on the positive side. But on the negative side, a little bit, you know, later, you have the example of Lot. You have the example of Lot. Remember, the angels came to him and said, we're going to destroy this place. Just like the Lord told Noah, I'm going to destroy this place. Judgment is coming. Both Lot and Noah knew that judgment was coming on their world. And the angels asked Lot, do you have anybody else here? Any family? And Lot knew right away, yes, I do. I not only have my daughters, but it says there that he has his sons-in-law, those who were about to marry his wife, daughters. And so Lot went to speak with them. He ran to speak with them. And he said, what was about to happen? And it's so sad there. It says that they thought that he was joking. They thought he was joking. What does that say about Lot? He didn't have the standing with his kids that Noah had.
Wow.
He didn't have the history, the relationship of serious things. Sober things, godly things that Noah developed with his kids. When Noah came to his kids and said, the earth is going to get flooded and we have to build an ark, they didn't think he was joking.
Right.
They knew he was serious, because surely Noah must have taken the time to develop a healthy relationship in the Lord with his kids,
right,
about these things. And his testimony before his kids, it mattered to him what his living said to his kids. Everything of Noah's living must have said, I'm not kidding around.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the things of God, I'm serious.
Amen.
But right. with Lot, when he came, they said, oh, that's old dad. He's kidding again.
Right.
And because of that, he lost them.
Right.
He lost them. We don't want to lose our kids.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have a relationship with them. We need to foster and develop a relationship with our family, like Noah,
mm-hmm,
that must have developed through a lot of talks, a lot of time with them.
Right.
We were touched this last week, you know, and perhaps we'll speak more about this in May, but you know, there's a number of things that we need to have with our kids. And it won't just happen. We need to work it out. We need to have family times. Then we need to have many family talks, family times, family talks. And then listen, we need to have many more family chats. And all of this will develop a family atmosphere.
Amen.
A family atmosphere, a family culture, family times, family talks, family chats, and family atmosphere. Family times are those times where, all right, everybody needs to be involved. Get the whole family here. Something's happening in this house. One time, one of my kids came home from school, not too long ago, from high school. And as I try to do every day, I asked them, how was school? How was school? And this particular day, she said, oh, it was fine, Dad. And so they always say that, right? Oh, it was fine. It was good. So you have to learn how to press the case a little bit. Well, what was good about it? What happened? And she said, oh, well, you know, everything was the same. But today, she said, just like in passing, a lesbian came up to me and asked me if I would go out with her.
Wow.
Oh,
my God. Okay.
Wow.
Ew.
Family time. I said, just a second, sweetheart. And I gave that call that only a father can give out to the whole house. Right? Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, everybody gather at the dinner table.
That's right.
Time for a family time.
Amen.
Sarah came out of her room. Leanna came out of her room. My wife came off. We were just, it was a family time.
Wow.
And we had a very good time. Being clear about this. We also need to have a family time where we just, it'd be great if we can have a time set every day where we just speak with our kids about how they are and maybe enjoy a song or enjoy an appropriate verse with them or something. Something to meet them where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Read a book. This would be a great time to speak about our books, but we don't have time. Just know we have books. There are books now. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And there's a new set of books. Okay.
Oh, there's
pause for a second. Let me show you. There's a new set of books. I'm not selling. I'm out of focus.
Right.
We have a whole set now of books.
Wow.
Ooh. Short stories on character. And they walk through all 30 points of the books on character.
Wow.
And what it does is it takes a family here, and it has practical situations in their lives where these things are touched. And so if you have an issue that day about somebody in your family losing their temper, that night perhaps you might read this one with them on God, on being calm, on being calm. These are family times, set times like this, where you get into something, either a topic or a song or a verse. But in addition to that, we need family talks.
Amen.
Family talks. It's not so official. It's not so regulated. It just happens here and there. You're in the car and something comes up. And you're always aware of this. It's not family sermons or messages, but just talks.
Mm-hmm.
One time, our family was in a car, and somehow we began to talk about modern music.
Mm.
Well, this was a wonderful opportunity. We just had a human talk about music.
Right.
And I shared with them what music, I don't know if this is a pattern or not, but about what it was like when I was a kid. And then what music was like when my father was a kid. And we saw that there's a line of being stupider and stupider, simpler and simpler, dumber right. and dumber.
Right.
And how even in today's music, there's not that many notes. All of the notes are just da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's just repeating itself over. And we listened to some things in the car of modern music.
Mm.
How, I mean, saints, there are some songs today that just repeat the same words over and over again. Can you believe it? And we listened to that. And then we went back and we listened to something from the 1950s. Mm. Now, again, I am not saying we need to listen to this kind of music. But I was making a point that even the music today is just fallen and degraded.
Yeah.
Right.
This was a family talk. It wasn't spiritual. It was just a talk like this. So we need to have these kinds of talks with our families, mm-hmm. you know? And then we need to have thousands of chats with them. It's just you and your son or you and your daughter, maybe not even the whole family, but just these chats about small things. Last night I was with my oldest and I didn't see her all day, and when I did at night, I asked her, how was your day, how was school? And she said, oh, it was okay. And I said, well, what happened? And she said, oh, not much. I knew there was something there, right? Oh, dads, don't just go, oh, okay, see ya.
Don't. Right.
Especially with your daughters, you can't do that. Sisters, girls, need time to warm up a little bit sometimes, mm-hmm. you know? Can I have an amen from the sisters?
Amen.
I've got one there.
Amen.
Sometimes you need to, like a hen, right? Warm up the situation. Sit in a more relaxed pose so that they know that you're not going anywhere.
Mm.
And that was just beginning to happen when somebody came in the door and the whole thing was lost. Later on, I found out from mom, something happened that day. Something happened with Sarah that day. And I missed it. Hallelujah. Mom didn't miss it, but I missed it. We got to have these little chats with our kids all the time. And you don't push anything on them. You don't say, you know, everything's the best that it can be, so let's gain Christ. But maybe there's a verse that comes up, and because you have chats with them and talks with them and time with them, you have the proper atmosphere and relationship with them. That maybe a verse is wonderful right now. And you have this with them. Noah had that. Lot did not have that. For some reason, Lot just didn't have it with him. Whenever he was with his kids, he told jokes. He just played around with them. And so when the time came they thought, no, you must be joking again. Okay, Lord Jesus, we don't want to be Lots. We want to be Noahs, right? Okay. Yeah. Here's a verse. How about this verse? Genesis 12:3. It says, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who curse you, I will curse. Yeah. We know that part, right? But then it says, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed.
Amen.
In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Later on, it says, in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. But this is the first time where it mentions this. And the first time here, it says, all the families of the earth. So the family is the source. The family is the unit of salvation. We've heard this in the past. But did you know that the families are the unit of blessing?
Amen. Unit of blessing.
Amen.
And so if we take this way to care for our families, we can be blessed. Our families can be blessed. And then here's another verse. Deuteronomy 12:7. It says, and there you shall eat before Jehovah your God, and you and your household shall rejoice in all your undertakings. Mm-hmm. In all your undertakings in which Jehovah your God has blessed you. Mm-hmm. So the family is the source of, the
unit
of salvation. The family is the unit of blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And the family is the unit of rejoicing.
Amen.
How about household salvation?
Amen.
Household blessing.
Household
blessing.
Amen.
And household rejoicing.
Amen. Amen.
How about this? We have a rejoicing household. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And if you don't have one, saints, get one. Spend some family time. Spend some family talks.
Amen.
Some family chats.
Amen.
To develop in your household a family that is rejoicing together.
Amen.
Sing some songs together.
Amen.
Tell some stories with dads. You got to become good at telling stories. One of my kids came up to me and said, Dad, teach me how to tell stories. You're good at telling stories. Said, what do you mean? She said, when I'm at school, I want to tell my friends some stories, but they always get bored when I tell them stories. I never get bored when you tell me stories. Teach me how you do it. What is that? That's a chat. That's a family chat.
Uh-huh.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't chats wonderful?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe chat is not the right word, but it seems right. It's not a religious thing. It's not. It's just a chat with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Family rejoicing.
Amen.
By these kind of chats. So we need to learn how to speak to them in an interesting way. Okay. So what do we speak to them about? Well, about whatever is on their heart, whatever's on their heart. And if there's nothing on their heart, you know, don't make it a big deal. Come on, there's got to be something. Open up. Right. Come on. You know, don't make it a big deal. If they don't want to open up, you can't open up a flower. You got to wait till it blossoms sometimes. But if they don't have anything to say, then you say something. Tell them a story. Many times in the Old Testament, it says, when your children ask you in days to come, what does this mean? What does this mean? It says, you tell them. You tell them. And just about every important event in the history of the children of Israel, Jehovah told them this. When your children ask you about this, you tell them. It's like it's up to you and make it good. Tell it in an interesting way. When they see these stones there, when they see these stones in the river, tell them not only what it means, then it says, tell them what it means to you. They want to know what it means to mom and dad. Uh-huh. What does the church mean to you, mom? Why do you read the Bible? Why do you go to meetings? Don't quote the life studies here. Tell them what it means to you. Amen. You got to learn how to make it good.
Amen.
Speak to them like this.
Amen.
Okay. This is what we enjoyed last week, too. I've been in these books on Hudson Taylor.
Wow.
Because we're beginning to see. I gotta watch my time. We're beginning to see that children, they really need the truth in an age-appropriate way, not premature, but where they're at, they need the truth.
Mm-hmm.
God is real. God is the creator. God created everything. He created you and he created me. There's no mistakes. I mean, there's certain things of the truth that has to get in, mm-hmm. right? Early.
Right.
But also when they get a little bit older, and when I say older, I mean like 5, 6. Eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. They need to have a what for. They not only need to know about God and his creation, they need to be impressed to have a proper character. Be respectful. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Be kind. Be patient. Right? All of these things. So we've got this whole set, short stories on character. Character needs to get into it. And not only character, but character applied in their humanity. You may have the character to be honest and truthful. But sometimes you can be honest without the proper humanity. When your little girl gets her hair cut and it looks awful, and everybody knows it looks awful, and she's crying and she says, Dad, does this look awful? Okay, Dad, where's your humanity? Don't just be truthful. You need to have a proper humanity and help her in your honesty and in your truthfulness. But then they get all of this, and the question is, why? What's it for? So we're being impressed more and more, and we don't know really how this will work or what's an appropriate means to convey this, but they need to have some kind of purpose in them as a child, not just as a high schooler. High schoolers for sure need to have a purpose. If they don't have a purpose by the time they're in high school, they can just stray. But it needs to start earlier. There needs to be a purpose, a meaning, something of meaning. And even in a proper holy sense, an inspiration. They need to be inspired by something as a child. Listen to this. Hudson Taylor, we know when he was an adult, went to China, right? This was huge. This was a big event in church history. He went to China. But listen to this. This is from a biography on Hudson Taylor. It says this. It says, and it was by the early conversations of his father, Hudson Taylor's father. And it was by the early conversations of his father. And it says, and what a powerful conversationalist his father was. Dads, are you a powerful conversationalist? Can you make talks interesting? And what a powerful conversationalist his father was, that young Hudson, when only 4 or 5 years of age, became deeply impressed with the need of the heathen world.
Wow.
How about that? And when you read the biography, you'll see Hudson Taylor's father was a pastor, and he often had others come to his house, other pastors come to his house, and they would sit around the table, and the kids were invited. The kids, little Hudson and his sister and all the kids would come and listen to these stories around the table. And oftentimes his father would lament about China. And he'd say things like, we just came back from the missionary board, from the meeting, and we're sending people all over the world, but nobody's going to China. And they talk about the millions of souls that were perishing in China. And they had no idea, little Hudson, his ears were listening to all these stories about China. And Hudson, 4 or 5 years old, was taking it all in.
Wow.
This is the family of Noah. When only 4 or 5 years of age, became deeply impressed with the need of the heathen world. Then it says this, at this young, sorry, I'm screaming. I don't need to scream. I'm in Huntsville, but I have a microphone. At this young period, he was often heard. Who? He? Hudson. At this young period, Hudson was often heard to say, when I am a man, I will be a missionary and go to China.
Wow.
We're done here. Good night, saints. Bye. Just chew on that. Do you realize Hudson went to China as a man after having a troubling teenage years? It wasn't smooth sailing for him. He didn't just, hallelujah all the way. He had kind of a time where it wasn't so easy for him. But when he came back to the Lord, he knew, I'm going to China. As a young man, he knew, I'm going to China. Where did that come from? That came from the family talks, the family chats. When he was 4 or 5, he would hear his folks talk about China. Ugh. When I am a man, how about your 5-year-old comes to you and says, Dad, when I'm a man, I'll be a missionary. Dad, when I'm a man, I'm going to be a full-timer and I'm going to Germany.
Amen.
Are there talks about Germany around your table?
Yes.
We need to learn how to throw divine and mystical curveballs.
Amen.
We throw them to the ones at our table, but it's curving right into the ears of our five-year-olds. And then it says this. As his way to a definite missionary work was closed, Hudson's dad couldn't go, and he knew it. He couldn't go to China. He wanted to. He was burning inside to go. And surely whenever he spoke about it, his kids picked that up. but he couldn't go. As his way was closed, he frequently prayed that if God gave him a son, that son might devote his life to the vast, to this vast and needy land. So he spoke these things in his house, and he prayed these things in his heart. This is Malachi 4:6. This is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Amen.
Lord, bless our families.
Amen. Amen.
Make our families households of rejoicing.
Amen.
A blessing and a salvation.
Amen.
What started around the table in a little house somewhere in England ended up blessing the earth. You know, eventually it says that Abraham would be that all the nations would be blessed through him. The nation of China was blessed through Hudson.
Right.
But it started, the first mention was the families will be blessed.
Yes.
China was blessed because Hudson's family was blessed.
Right.
Wow. You see this link here?
Right.
So you think, oh, this is just focused on the family. This is, no, it's don't go there with your thought. This is God's economy. This is Matthew 24:14. This is go therefore to all the nations because your fam and bless them because your family was blessed. This is where it starts. Okay. I got 15 minutes. Let's see how this fits in a little bit. I have a hard stop and I'm going to keep it, Lord Jesus. How does this fit in? Well, saints, there's this marvelous, helpful fellowship in 1983 about One Piece. One Piece. I hope just with that little story of Hudson Taylor, we can see how it's in the family, but eventually a whole nation got blessed. So what happens in the family today, in a few years, can bless a whole nation. That there's something, how does it work? Okay, so we've got, I'm gonna use this high tech help here. I thought about how we can do it with the thing, but I thought, no, we'll just, you can't even, sorry. That says children.
Children.
Children. Okay.
Yeah, we can see it.
You can see it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Children, in a blink of an eye, become junior hires. And in two blinks of an eye, they become high schoolers. Before you know it, they're in high school. My kids, yesterday, my kids were seven. Now they're 17. Just like that. Just like that. And then suddenly, they're in college. They're in college. But we need to ask, okay, and then they become young adults. Well, saints, where do children come from?
Young adults.
Well, not yet.
Old adults.
The older adults. They come from families.
Yeah.
Children, come from families. And families come from young adults who get married and become couples.
Mm.
All right. This is the one piece. Forget about the pipe. Sorry. Forget about the pipeline. Oh, I hope it's okay to say that. Brother Lee, never use that word, pipeline. I know where it came from. I was there when it began to be used, and I know what they meant when they used it. They meant, let's take them from, let's shepherd them from point A all the way through. That was the thought, and that's why it was used. But over the years, it's picked up a lot of other connotations. Pipelines, by definitions, are connections of a lot of pipes. And that means a lot of pieces. The children's piece, young people's piece, college piece, young adult piece, all of those. But Brother Lee never thought of it like that. Every part needs their care, for sure. And every part needs ones who has a burden for that stage in life, for sure. Yeah. We need to have ones who develop a heart for the high school age. We need to have ones who develop a heart for the college and develop, and you can say they major in that. That's their major. But their view is much broader than that. Their view is on the one piece. Their view goes all the way along. So here's a quote from 1983, and I thought I should find the audio because I have it, and I should play it for you, where Brother Lee speaks about this, and to hear him. But this is a quote of what he said. So just pretend that I'm him, okay? Because this is what he said. He said, the children's work is a basic work in the churches because there are so many young people. This is in 1983 in Anaheim, and it's in the collected works there, if you'd like to look it up. Because there are so many young people, so many family units, so many children everywhere. He said, the church has a lot of children. To raise up our children and bring them to the Lord is the easiest way to get the increase for the church.
Wow.
To raise up our children and bring them to the Lord is the easiest way to get the increase for the church. Mm. And this increase is quite trustworthy.
Wow, it's true.
Wow,
quite
amen.
Trustworthy. And later on in other parts of the ministry, he makes this point about how we need the church kids. They're raised in the church. They know the church. They know the taste of the church. They know the taste of the Spirit. They know the smell of God's economy. They just, it's mom's apple pie to them. They know it. We love the college ones who are saved, and they can get that taste too. But to be raised on that taste is something special.
Right.
And this increase is quite trustworthy. Much better than to get the outsiders in, he says. The children's work helps the young people's work. The junior high work depends on the children's meeting. If the children's meeting would be done quite successfully, this will support the junior high work very much. From the junior high, they will go on to high school. And then from high school, they will go on to college and so forth. I feel very much burdened, even though I don't have the time to touch it, which means if he had the time to touch it, he would. Saints, we need to have the time to touch it.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the time to touch it. And at another time, Brother Lee said, if I didn't have to do what I was doing, which is you know, ministering the word, holding conferences and trainings, bringing on the Lord's recovery. He said, if I didn't have to do what I was doing, I would be working with the children. That's where he'd spend his time. So here again, he says, I feel very much burdened, even though I don't have the time to touch it, that every local church must pay adequate attention. Every local church must pay adequate attention. It means a lot if the local church sees this.
Amen.
Amen.
Because our work is for the church and it's in the church. It has to be one with the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we have to work according to the view of the church. Whatever that is, one accord is paramount. We just have to say amen to the leading of the church. But it'd be wonderful that if in every local church, they must pay adequate attention and do the thing sufficient to take care of the children's meeting. Then it says this, then from the children's meeting, go on to the young people's work. We must get the Lord's gospel onto the campus. And in this context, when he says the word campus, he means the high school and junior high campus. Then here's the point. Here's that quote. So this work, comma, the children, actually it could be a colon. So this work, sorry, it's a comma. So this work with the children and young people, the junior high and so forth, are all related together as one piece. Do we see it? See with this? Here is where Hudson hears the stories. Here is where we have the talks and the chats and develop an atmosphere that is full of love and care and fostering. Henry Wadsworth, let me give you a quote you probably didn't expect to hear this morning. Henry Wadsworth, he said this. He said, the child is the father of the man. The child is the father of the man. The father is the source. It's what produces the thing, right? But where did the father come from? It came from what kind of childhood he had. So the childhood brings forth what kind of father he is. So the child is the father of the man. I don't know if that made sense. What kind of a man will you become? What kind of a man will you become? It depends what kind of childhood you had. So here is where that happens, right? And then they become junior hires that, because something got in them to care for others, not just having a proper character, not just knowing that God is the creator, but developing a heart for others happens here. Then when they get into junior high school, because they care for others, Brother Lee says they become gospel seeds. Brother Lee says they're little bombs. There are little bombs. There are secret weapons on the campus. And then he says that they overturn their high schools.
Wow.
Let's overturn some high schools.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Where do you get high school overturners? It's children. From children who were raised this way.
Amen. And
how about sending these ones to our colleges? What kind of college work would we have if we had high schoolers who were overturning their high schools? the colleges wouldn't stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then in college, you know, in high school, I mean, I served with high schoolers for 30 years. And we're just infusing them with vision and truth and inoculation and, you know, all of this for years. And then they get to high school and now they're a human, they're at a human stage where they can really lay hold of these things. And then they go to their first college conference and they just ignite, they're on fire. It just all becomes real, everything they've heard. Mm-hmm. And then they come back and they say, oh, I've never seen this before. I'm so, and it's like our work with them in high school never happened, you know. It was just, you know, no, we set the fuse. Mm-hmm. We put the explosives in them that it could explode, and college should be a year of explosion in vision.
Amen. Just,
amen.
Yeah, give themselves in college. And then this is what kind of young people we have. Young people who aren't forced just to serve in the college work. Maybe they don't have a heart for the college work. Maybe they have a heart for the high school, or maybe they have a heart for the children. It's okay with us because it's all one piece. We really see how it's all related. And then these ones get married. Hopefully we need to have more of these marriages.
Amen.
And then they become parents and have families. And then when they sit around, and I'll stop here. It worked out well. Praise the Lord. 1 minute Amen. Left.
Amen.
When those families have kids and their five-year-olds are sitting around the table, those couples, those parents are going to be throwing curveballs to the next generation. How many generations like that? If we raised up generations like that, how many would it take to bring the Lord back?
Mm. Amen.
I don't think very many. Amen. So saints, this is God's, this, what is this? This is a view.
Amen.
Of a possible carrying out of God's economy in our homes and in our families. At least, hopefully, it's a view to see how important the families are in the one piece. Okay.
Amen.
Sorry, 1 minute over.
Great job.
Amen.
Dear.
Praise the Lord.
Super Amen. Inspired, brother. That was awesome.
Amen.
We want more of this fellowship.
Yeah.
Amen.
Really inspired. Just talking to my kids and grandkids about taking them all to the Bible Museum with Watchman Nee's exhibit and just infusing them with a love for the Lord, a love for the Bible, a love for the ministry. Yeah. So I'm more encouraged to work this out now after you have these little family times.
Yeah.
Family talks and family chats. Awesome. Thank you so much, Amen. Brother Peter.
Amen.
Brother Amen.
Peter. Really glad. Okay, for the rest of us, it's not over. We just got a massive infusion and inspiration, and we'd like to continue our family day. Encourage everyone to make it to the lunch at Congress. You should have signed up. Even if you didn't, let's just squeeze you in somehow. We can order food. There'll be a special treat for the kids. They'll enjoy that. Secondly, this is a very special time specifically for families to spend time together. And this time for the parents to enter in and play with their children alongside other parents playing with their children. So please enter in to the activities and games together with your children and YP. So it's not just send the kids over there and the adults stay over here and talk. Let's have real family interaction with our own family and with other families. There are games to play from 11:30 to 12:15, and we encourage everyone to participate. Remember, it's family time. Okay, then thirdly, there will be opportunities to informally overflow what you enjoyed from Peter speaking. And this will be during our lunchtime. We've circled up the chairs to encourage fellowship. So please take advantage of this time together to share and encourage one another. I think we got a lot to digest. And then fourthly, after our time, which we're shooting for 1:30, please help to clean up, mainly taking down the chairs and tables as we're one big family. So I think that's all the announcements. I don't know, sisters, if I left something out or there's something we want to emphasize before we zoom out here. I know we're full of feeling and thanks to Peter. I know that. Let's all say a big amen. Turn your microphone on.
Amen.
Say, thank you, Brother Peter. Amen. Ready? Turn your mic on. 1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Peter.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, saints. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
So anything, Kristen, Amy, Isai, Zeke, anybody have anything we need to add before we zoom out here? Okay. We got about an hour and 15 minutes to head for the hall.
Amen.
Backyard. Weather looks like it's going to be great. We're going to have a great family time. So pray for it. Enter in. Have fun with your kids and other kids. Is that good?
Yeah. Yes. Like the game time will be short. The game time will just be 45 minutes, and then we'll be eating lunch by 12:15. So don't be late if you can.
Don't be late.
Okay, we'll be there.
I just want to let you know, I sent you a text. I don't know if you can see it. It's that quote about Hudson Taylor.
Great.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Send it on to my email, Peter, and we can send it around. We love those quotes. Thank you for the digging. Yeah. Precious. Precious, precious. Dean, do you have anything for us, Dean, before we zoom out?
I think that should do it.
Okay. See you in an hour and 15.
Yeah.
Amen.
Bye.
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 Bye.